If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. The chapter is 2. And I want to begin our study today at verse number 1. That's an Old Testament passage, Habakkuk chapter 2. And we'll begin our study at verse number 1. I will stand my watch, and I'm reading from the New King James, and set myself on the rampart or watchtower and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then at verse 2, Habakkuk says there, the Lord answered me and said, write a vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. And then Habakkuk says, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The title of my lesson is The Just Shall Live by Faith. Someone conducted a survey to determine the most popular books in the Bible. And the book of Habakkuk didn't make the top 5, and it didn't make the top 10. That's unfortunate, because the book of Habakkuk has a message that I believe is relevant to each and every one of us in here today. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul, and actually it was Paul who led me to this text, because in Romans 1:17, he says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Written where? Well, at that time, the only Bible that Paul would have had would have been the Old Testament. So written in the book of Habakkuk. He quotes it again in the book of Galatians chapter 3 around verse number 11. But today, if you pay attention to the evening news or the late night news, you are aware that there are fires, wildfires in California, storms and tornadoes in Tennessee and the Carolinas. Recently, there have been plane crashes. The war in Ukraine on October 7th, a couple of years ago, the attack on Israel. And related conflict in Middle East is causing all sorts of tension and problems. There's crisis at the border. Tariffs. We have the DOGE and federal government job buyout programs that are on the hearts and on the minds of so many. So there's pain, suffering, PTSD, and chaos everywhere. So then, my lesson today is designed to, is directed toward those who may be experiencing some loss or some form of grief. And you might say, well, Brother Barry, I'm good right now. But let me suggest to you that that may not always be the case. So I think this lesson is for you as well. And when we're hurting and when we're dealing with loss, pain, disappointment, it's good to be able to do three things. And I think these three things actually were done for the nation of Israel as they dealt with the trauma of being overrun by the Babylonians. But it's good to be able to do three things. Number one, to explain the loss. If we can put some words to the loss that we're dealing with, explaining the loss seems to provide some order, if you please, to the chaos that you may be experiencing. The second thing that's helpful when we're dealing with grief and loss and chaos in our lives is to be able to express the loss. And in fact, the book of Lamentations does that. It was written during the time that Israel was overrun by Babylon. And at expressing the loss is helpful because it's a step or it's a movement toward healing. When we're dealing with hurt, we often wonder if grief and hope can exist side by side. And I want to suggest to you this morning that they can, and in fact they have to, if we're going to overcome whatever it is we may be dealing with. And then the third thing, and this is really where I want to park this morning, is it's good when you're hurting and you're dealing with something, if you can find a way through that loss. And I believe that's where Habakkuk was this morning. In life, trouble, disappointment is unavoidable. There is always something that challenges our understanding of how God operates in this world. So in life, we have to learn how to deal with, and that's what Habakkuk was doing here this morning. He was dealing with some unanswered questions. Why me? Why my mother? Why my father? Why my son? Why am I struggling emotionally? Why am I struggling financially? And so I believe then that Habakkuk this morning has a message for each and every one of us. And 587 BC, just to give you a little bit of background here, the nation of Israel, or Jerusalem, Judah, was overrun by the Babylonians. The Assyrians had attacked the north and the Babylonians down in Jerusalem. It was a time of great trauma for God's people. Many of God's children were exiled in Babylon. I'm sure most of you are probably familiar with the story of Daniel, but Habakkuk actually writes his prophecy prior to them going into Babylonian captivity. In chapter 1, the book begins with the prophet crying out to God with questions because of the wickedness and the corruption that he sees going on around him. In Habakkuk chapter 1, at verse number 4, Habakkuk says there, the law is powerless. Justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment prevails. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, in chapter 1, Habakkuk asks God some questions. He says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry out and you will not hear? Even cry to you violence and you will not save." Habakkuk had some questions for God. And so now God gives Habakkuk, verses 5 through 11, and in chapter 2, he gives him the answer. God answers and said in verse 6 that he's going to use the nation of Babylon to punish God's people. God uses, he's going to use a wicked nation. And in the mind of Habakkuk, they were actually, the Babylonians were much more wicked than anything that they may have been doing in Judah. And so they take them into captivity, and Habakkuk struggles with this approach. So God gives his reasons. He says, I'm going to tell you why I'm going to use the Babylonians to do this thing for me. God says the Babylonians are made for war. They have the fastest horses, the best chariots, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the problem with the Babylonians was this. They did not realize that the God who created all things was a God who was in control of everything. So then they too, the Babylonians, will fall. In verse number 11, God says this about the Babylonians. He says, then his mind changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing this power to his God with a small g. So then in chapter 2, I believe is the moment where Habakkuk comes to the realization of what God is doing with him. In chapter 2, God helps Habakkuk as he provides a way through the loss. That's what I'm dealing with this morning. In 2 Kings 17, it explains the loss. Lamentation expresses the loss that Israel is dealing with. And here in the book of Habakkuk, God provides a way through the loss. And it's important to note that the loss would not be eliminated. God says in verse number 4, his response to Habakkuk is simply this: the just shall live by faith. Please notice now that faith is not the answer to the questions that he asked, but faith was how he needed to live, and he needed to respond. And so faith is our, as children of God, faith is, no matter what's going on, no matter how good, how bad things are, faith should be our way of life. As God's people, we have to realize that sometimes in life, there are no easy answers to life's most difficult questions. But notice now how God deals with Habakkuk. Notice in chapter 2, at verse number 1, Habakkuk says, I'm going to stand my watch in the watchtower. He says, I'm going to go up into the watchtower. And the watchtower for Habakkuk is going to provide for him a different point of view. In the watchtower, Habakkuk reaches a turning point. In the watchtower, he comes to a better understanding of how God works in the world. He understands that God is at work, and God has always and God always will. He's going to direct history to achieve and to accomplish his will. You remember the story of Ishmael and Isaac. God was at work there. Esau, Jacob, God was at work there. He has always directed history, even deciding that Solomon was going, instead of David, was going to build the temple. God is even active, I believe, in the world in which we live in today. Galatians chapter 4, at verse number 4, the Bible says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son to save mankind. So let's see then what's going on in the watchtower. And so what I'm trying to do today, church, is encourage all of us, every one of us, to have a watchtower moment. I want to encourage you, when you go into the watchtower, Habakkuk had to, number one, he had to step up. He had to go to a higher place. In the watchtower, Habakkuk had to look up. He had to humble himself. In the watchtower, Habakkuk had to listen up. Remember, chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I'm going up there to see what God has to say to me. Habakkuk is willing to let God, he says, what he's going to say to me, and I'm going to let him correct me. We have to be willing to let God correct us in our lives. He begins to realize that God is in a higher place than he is. From God's point of view, God can see the beginning, and he can also see the end. God knows what's going on at the beginning of the parade, and he knows what's going on at the end of the parade. So I want to encourage anybody in here that may be struggling with anything. You might be considering leaving your spouse. And I hope you won't do that. But I want to encourage you to have a watchtower moment. You may be living right now with some unanswered questions. Watchtower moment. Go into your watchtower, and your watchtower might be just a bedroom. It might be a closet. It might be a walk in the community, but let me encourage you to have a watchtower moment and do it with the Bible, the Word of God, to see what the Word has to say about finances, if that's what you're struggling with, or death, or whatever the issue may be. See what the Bible has to say. And then, this morning, in chapter 2, at verse number 1, he goes there into that watchtower, and God deals with him. God helps him. God will help you as well. And then this morning, Habakkuk finds some reassurance. He finds comfort there in the watchtower. God will deal with Babylon. He got the message to Habakkuk is this. He says, God says, I'm going to deal with Babylon for their many sins. So in Habakkuk chapter 3 at verse number 2, he hears about the work of God and the glory of God that's filling the earth. Then he sees God. He sees the splendor of God's work. He sees God's strength in the world. And then at Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse number 13, and I want to read that one. Habakkuk 3 and 13, he sees the salvation of God. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. So it's there in the watchtower that Habakkuk is reassured there. Habakkuk in the watchtower, he moves. There's a movement there. There's a transformation there. In the watchtower, he moves from despair to rejoicing. Verse 18. Look at verse. Look quickly at verse 18. I'm trying to wrap it up here now. At verse number 18, he says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my salvation." He moves from weakness to strength. And so with God's help, what we have to understand is we can navigate any issue with the grace of a deer. Because in verse number 19, I remember, and I'm not a hunter, but Brother Jeff, when I was in college, I had a group of my classmates. They came to me and they said, "Sammy, we're going to go hunting." And I wasn't a hunter. I said, "But what we want you to do, we want you to chase the deer. And we're going to shoot the deer." And so, by the fact that I'm here today, you all know I didn't take them up on their offer. But there's something that we can learn from the deer. And I promise you now, I'm closing. And in verse number 19, and this is beautiful here. Verse 18, he says, "I rejoice." Verse 19, "The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet." And let's think for a minute about the deer. The deer is known for their speed and agility, their ability to navigate the terrain. And so the issues and the problems are going to be there. But like the deer making its way through the terrain, we can deal with any issue, any problem that life brings to us. Because God says, he says, "Habakkuk, I know you got some issues. You don't understand why I'm using a nation like Babylon, which is wicked, to address the wickedness that's going on in Jerusalem. But Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith." The deer are known for their sure-footedness, allowing them to climb the steep and rocky terrain without slipping. Habakkuk is trusting God to give him stability and balance to climb and to deal with the high mountains. Deer are able to run for long distances without getting tired. Habakkuk is expressing his trust that God will give him the endurance, the perseverance to run the race of life as long as he is living. He'll never get tired. God, and I'm closing now, God does not keep us from trouble. But watch this. He keeps us while we are in trouble. If we will live by faith. In tribulation, he's with us. In the hospital room, he's with us. I'm reminded of what John said, John the Revelator. John chapter 1. John said, "I saw a vision of Jesus Christ walking among the seven golden lampstands." He was letting them know that even though they were going through trials and tribulations, that Jesus Christ was right there with them. You might be dealing with illness. You might be dealing with who knows what. You may even have issues in the boardroom. But let me tell you something. As a child of God, Jesus Christ is right there with you. And so in your times of trouble, I want to leave you with this. Find a watchtower somewhere. When you want to get away from the wife and the children, just say, honey, I'm going to my watchtower now. And see what God is going to say to me. Would you pray with me, please? Our most kind and ever to be adored Father in heaven, we appreciate you for your greatness, your goodness, and your awesome power. Father, there's no other God like you. You're all-knowing, all-powerful. And Father, I realize that sometimes we don't understand why things happen the way they do. But I find comfort and reassurance in the fact that you are God that sits high and look low, and you are God that's in control of all things. Father, oftentimes we should be thankful for the toils and the troubles and tribulations of life. Because I realize that what you're doing, God, you are shaping us down here so we will fit in up there. We're so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we're thankful that he came, lived, and died so that we might be able to be here today and call on his most high and most holy name. And it's in the name of Jesus we do pray. Let us all together say, amen.